From WBUR Boston, this is special coverage of the Interfaith Prayer Service in this city for those killed or injured in the Boston Marathon bombings on Monday. I'm Bob Oakes.
And I'm Deborah Becker. President Obama is here in Boston and will be the final speaker at this service. It's being called Healing Our City, an interfaith service. Well over 1,000 people are packed into the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in downtown Boston. Lines to get in began forming as the sun rose this morning. And here comes Liz Walker. She is with the Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. She'll begin the service.
They are age-old questions that rise up far too often these days. Questions we all ask, no matter what our faith tradition or our station in life. How can a good God allow bad things to happen? Where was God when evil slithered in and planted the horror that exploded our innocence? While someone this morning may have answers, I do not. But this is what I know. God is here in the midst of this sacred gathering, in this sanctuary and beyond. Different faiths, different races, strangers bound first by loss and pain, but now clinging together in growing strength. In a city that has always faced the darkness head on. We are members of one another, a community of resilience, hard pressed but not defeated, confounded but not consumed. We are gathered in community, and through the blur of each other's tears and the beats of so many broken hearts, we will rise in community. And face whatever the future holds, resolutely as one. This is what is demanded of us, and this is who we are. God is here in our resilience, the grit that gets us back up again. And nothing taken will be forgotten or lost in vain. This is how God works. Good morning. I am Reverend Liz Walker from Roxbury Presbyterian Church, and I welcome you as we gather in community to help heal our beloved city and this violence-weary world. Let us pray. Creator God, in the beginning, you said, let there be light, and the light shone, piercing the darkness. Help us find our way through the darkness now. You taught us that we belong to each other. Help us hold each other now. We pray comfort for those who have lost loved ones, courage for those who are struggling through the trauma of physical and psychic pain. And tenderness to those for whom the world no longer makes sense. Lord, bless this broken-hearted city as she finds her balance, dusts herself off, and tilts her head back toward the sky. Open our eyes to your presence this morning. Open our hearts to your grace. Restore us so that we can see and be the light once again. In all that we hold holy, for me that is Jesus Christ, let the people of God together say, amen.
That's Liz Walker, one-time, long-time, and well-known television personality news anchor in Boston, now the Reverend at the Roxbury Presbyterian Church. Next up, Metropolitan Methodius of the Greek Orthodox Church.
Of representing the Greek Orthodox community of Boston and New England, at this interfaith service of healing. This past Monday, a day rich with symbolism, a horrific act of terrorism wounded the heart and soul of our city and our nation. Thousands from throughout the world were in Boston as participants and spectators of the marathon, which, as we all know, recalls the run of Philippides from the ancient city of Marathon to Athens to announce the victory of Greece over the forces of an empire that devalued freedom, human dignity, and democracy. The Boston Marathon always coincides with Patriots Day, when we commemorate the battles of Lexington and Concord, the first of the American Revolution. Sadly, it was on Patriots Day, when we celebrate the values of freedom and democracy and the fiercely independent spirit of America, it was on that day that evil reared its ugly head once again, and countless innocent men, women, and children fell victims to a senseless and unspeakable act of brutality. But we know that bombs of terrorism may kill and injure, but they cannot crush the American spirit. Today we thank Cardinal O'Malley for opening the embrace of his cathedral to all of us, to President Obama, to Governor Patrick, to Mayor Menino, to all who are in public service, to the religious leaders of the Commonwealth, to every citizen, regardless of creed. We gather as a community, as brothers and sisters in the household of God, to bow our heads in solemn prayer for the repose of the souls of three innocent victims whose lives were violently taken, and for the countless victims who will bear painful wounds for the rest of their lives. We come today to thank God for the police and firefighters, the National Guard, for the doctors and nurses, for all who responded selflessly and courageously. We pray that our gracious, loving, and compassionate, our merciful God, the healer of our souls and bodies, watch over us and comfort us in our hour of pain. And may he who is the Prince of Peace bring peace to our souls and to our community. And may Almighty God bless America.
Metropolitan Methodios of the Greek Orthodox Church in Boston and Brookline speaking to the gathering here at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, the seat of the Roman Catholic Church in Boston, in an interfaith service attended by President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, with many, many dignitaries in attendance, including Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley, who we know, of course, is just back from Rome, from the conclave there where Pope Francis was elected. Cardinal O'Malley just appointed to a special Vatican council that is going to advise the Pope on the operations of the Vatican, the only cardinal from North America so selected. Cardinal O'Malley, one of the supposed finalists. Now to speak, Boston Mayor Thomas Menino, who's just been rolled up in a wheelchair, the mayor, of course, recovering still from injuries last year that he suffered while on vacation in Europe, and also recovering from a broken leg of just a couple of weeks ago. The mayor standing now for this address.
It is good morning, because we are together. We are one Boston. No adversity, no challenge. Nothing can tear down the resilience in the heart of the city and its people. It is written that Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And since the clock struck that faithful hour, love has covered this resilient city. I have never loved it and its people more than I do today. We have never loved it and its people more than we do today. He loved the brave ones who felt the blast and still raced to the smoke. With ringing in their ears, they tugged the gates to the ground to answer cries from those in need. This was the courage of our city at work. We love the fathers and the brothers who took shirts off their backs to stop the bleeding, the mothers and the sisters who cared for the injured, the neighbors and the business owners, the homeowners all across the city. They opened their doors and their hearts to the weary and the scared. They said, "What mine is yours, we'll get through this together." This was the compassion of the city at work. We never love the heroes who wear the uniforms more than we do at this hour. Boston's finest in their blue. They carry kids to safety and calmed a city in crisis. The EMTs perform miracles in the instant. The firefighters answer the call. We love the National Guard and our service members who brought valor to our streets. The volunteers in the BAA jackets and the vests. And the doctors, the nurses who waited in their scrubs and did not buckle as the victims and the grave injured arrived. This was the strength of our city at work. We have never loved the people of the city, the world, our great country, more for their prayers and wishes. And yes, we even love New York City more. Sweet Caroline, playing at Yankee Stadium, and our city's flag flying in Lower Manhattan. It gives us even more strength to say prayer after prayer for the victims still recovering in the hospitals at home. It gives us strength to say goodbye to the young boy with a big heart, Martin Richard. We pray for his sister and his mom, his brother and his dad. It helps us to say that we'll miss Crystal Campbell and celebrate a spirit that brought her to the marathon year after year. It prepares us to mourn Lingzi's Lu, who came to the city in search of an education, but found new friends. Never forget her. I'm telling you, nothing can defeat the heart of the city. Nothing. Nothing will take us down because we take care of one another. Even with the smell of a smoke in the air and blood on the streets, tears in our eyes, we triumphed over that hateful act on Monday afternoon. It's a glorious thing, the love and the strength that covers our city. It will push us forward. It will push us thousands and thousands and thousands of people across the finish line next year. Because this is Boston, a city with courage, compassion, and strength that knows no bounds. Thank you.
You're listening to special coverage of the Boston Marathon Interfaith Healing Service from the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston. I'm Bob Oakes from WBUR Boston, also here with Deb Becker. Deb, Boston Mayor Thomas Menino just concluding his speech. A little bit of a strained voice there, maybe from a cold, but certainly an emotional speech.
Very emotional. You could tell that he was very emotional during this speech. He had difficulty getting up to the podium from his wheelchair after breaking his leg. And you know, Bob, it was very moving to hear him talk about this, and it's moving knowing his history, that he recently announced that he will not seek a sixth term in office. He's been mayor of Boston for decades, and he talked about the selflessness of Boston, the tributes coming in from around the nation after the marathon bombings, and he said Boston triumphed. Boston is a city of courage and compassion, and he said he never loved Boston more than he does today.
Despite the tears in our collective eyes and the smoke in the air, he called what's happened in Boston in the days since the bombing Monday a glorious thing.
Yeah, he did, and he said we will rise from this, and we will learn from this, and we will come back stronger from this. I thought it was a very, very moving tribute from Boston Mayor Tom Menino today at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross.
And now what we're listening to is music, a song. There will be many musical interludes during the service today. This song titled My Life Flows On in Endless Song. Why don't we listen a little bit?
You're listening to special coverage of the Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service from WBUR in Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. I'm in the studio with Bob Oakes. We're now going to a reflection from the Reverend Nancy Taylor of the Old South Church in Boston.
A ministry to marathoners. And I'm here to tell you that they are a special, very special breed. They are built of sturdy stuff. And as we do every year on Marathon Sunday, the day before the marathon, we invite the athletes to worship, and they come in the hundreds. And during the service, we ask them to stand, and we raise a forest of arms in blessing over them. And in the words of the prophet Isaiah, we supercharge them, saying, "May you run and not grow weary. May you walk and not faint." And this year, in the midst of it all, in the midst of a joy-filled, peace-filled international competition unlike any other, explosions, chaos, terror. And from the church's tower, this is what I saw that day. I saw people run toward, not away from, toward the explosions, toward the chaos, the mayhem, toward the danger, making of their own bodies sacraments of mercy. And in the minutes and the hours that followed, I saw with my own eyes good Samaritans taking off their coats and their shirts and wrapping them around athletes who were shivering, quaking with cold, and whose limbs were stiffening. Good Samaritans who fed, clothed, and sheltered runners and families, assisted families, shared their cell phones, opened homes and stores, and not least, guided strangers through Boston's cow paths. Today, from our tower overlooking the finish line, We continue to fly our three marathon banners. Today we fly them first in memory of those whose lives were taken that day. And second, we fly them with prayers for those who were harmed and those who grieve, for there is still much, much pain in the world today, and we are very far from being healed. And we fly them also in thanksgiving for first responders who made of their own bodies sacraments of blessing. Here's what I know today. We are shaken, but we are not forsaken. Another's hate will not make of us haters. Another's cruelty will only redouble our mercy. Amen.
That was good.
The Reverend Nancy Taylor of the Old South Church here in Boston, senior minister at the Old South Church. Next up, we're going to get a reading from Psalm 147 of the rabbi, from the Rabbi Ron Friedman of Temple
President
Israel, Boston.
President and Mrs. Obama, Governor and Mrs. Patrick, Mayor and Mrs. Menino, all of us in this space and well beyond are grateful for your constant and inspired leadership. Your compassionate presence is a signal of the triumph of order over chaos, of love over hatred. The gifted columnist Anna Quindlen wrote, "Grief remains one of the few things that has the power to silence us. It is a whisper in the world and a clamor within. The landscapes of all our lives become as full of craters as the surface of the moon." We would wish our prayers this morning to hold not only this city and its souls in our embrace, but to extend our reach to kindred spirits in Newtown and now sadly in West Texas. Our message to them is that our arms are wide enough to hold you in our hearts as well. The Hasidic sage Rabbi Nachman of Bratslav once said, "Kol ha'olam kulam gesher tsa'ar ma'od." The entire world is a narrow bridge, v'ha'ikar, but the important principle is lo lifached klal. Not the important principle is to transcend somehow your fear. As we share our grief for those who have lost life or limb, and for the constellations of families and friends who surround them, we turn to these words taken from Psalm 147, verse 3. Ana Adonai harofe lishburei lev mechabesh la'atzvotam. God, healer of the brokenhearted and binder of their wounds, grant consolation to those who mourn and healing to all those who suffer loss and pain. Empower them with strength and courage, and restore to them and to all of us who grieve with them a sense of life's goodness and purpose. Fill their hearts and ours with reverence and with love, that we might turn to you again with hearts restored to wholeness, hands committed to the recreation of well-being and peace.
The Rabbi Ron Friedman of Temple Israel here in Boston. From the Christian and Jewish faiths, we now go to the Islamic faith as we hear from Nasser Wadadi, Director of Civil Rights Outreach and the chair of the New England Interfaith Council. He's also the outreach director of the American Islamic Council. Interesting perspective. He sought asylum to the United States in 2000.
In the name of God, the most compassionate and most merciful. Mr. President, Governor Patrick, Mayor Menino, and fellow citizens of Boston, we're gathered together to mourn the loss of life in a criminal attack in our community. What happened on Monday has shocked and horrified us, but it has also brought us together. I come before you to share the message of my community's scripture. I want to cite a Quranic passage that I studied when I was 7 years old. I was living at the time in Damascus, Syria. And one afternoon, while walking back home from school, I experienced the terror of a car bomb that exploded on my route. I will never forget the sound of the blast, the confused rush of humanity, and the anger and the fear. These feelings returned on Monday. What gave me comfort at that time is something that may bring comfort to all of us today. It is a line from the Muslim Holy Scripture, from Surah Al-Ma'idah. The passage declares that it is inspired by the Jewish tradition, by a decree to the children of Israel, that whoever kills a soul, it is as if he killed mankind entirely. And whoever saves a life, it is as if he saved all of mankind. On Boylston Street on Monday afternoon, next to a great public library that bears amongst many names that of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we saw souls murdered, but also lives saved. 1 week ago, I was at another ceremony here in Boston. I stood in Faneuil Hall with 400 other people before a bust of Frederick Douglass and John Adams. We came from 77 different countries and all kinds of religious backgrounds. I, the lonely immigrant from Mauritania, raised my hand and took with them our oath of citizenship. Those of you who are born Americans may not be aware of what naturalized citizens pledge upon officially joining the nation of the United States of America. I was profoundly struck by the words we recited. We pledged to defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we pledged to perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law. When I recited this pledge last week, I could not imagine that work of national importance by civilians would be required here in Boston so soon. But now, all of us need to take up this pledge. We all have service to perform, and indeed, we are all moved by the thousands of people who stepped forward in a moment of tragedy and confusion to serve. I want to salute everyone who ran towards the victim despite risk to themselves, everyone who gave blood, everyone who volunteered shelter for stranded runners. I want to salute the members of law enforcement who are protecting us as we speak, and to thank the people around the world who are sending messages of hope and solidarity. Before us, all is civilian work of national and even international interest. No one has to take a formal oath. We know instinctively that we must rise to the occasion and act because of our common humanity. That is what makes us Americans. One nation under God. And now a prayer. Dear God, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, O compassionate one, O merciful one, welcome in heaven those innocent souls who were taken from us, and grant their surviving family members the strength to face their loss. Heal the wounds of those hurt last Monday, and heal the wounds of all Bostonians. We are hurting. United by faith in something greater than ourselves, we people of Boston, with your blessing, dedicate ourselves to the great task before us, to heal, to rebuild, and to serve once again as a shining city on the hill. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Amen.
That's Nasser Wadhadi. He's with the American Islamic Congress speaking at the Interfaith Healing Service in Boston. You're listening to special coverage of the Boston Marathon bombing Interfaith Healing Service from WBUR Boston. Now we'll go to the Reverend Roberto
this
Miranda.
This morning, the words of Psalm 125, verse 3, have a particular resonance. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous may not stretch out their hands to do wrong. As we have confirmed so graphically this week, wickedness does exist in this world. But we are reminded by Scripture that God has put a hedge of limitation around it. It may manifest itself for a moment, but then it has to relinquish the field to a higher, nobler power who is in ultimate control. This is why we come together on a time like this as people of faith, to go beyond the immediate dimension of terror, death, and loss, and to elevate our eyes to that sacred sphere, to place this terrible tragedy in a higher context, in a brighter light that can redeem it and infuse it with elements of hope, love, and unity. If we could not gravitate to that dimension where infinite good sits on his throne, at this very moment, gazing lovingly upon this city, grieving for and with us and those who have literally lost life or limb, then perhaps evil would have achieved the victory that it sought so fruitlessly on Patriots' Day. But we are people of faith. We believe in a benevolent God who holds a steady hand over history, who even as he allows hatred and fanaticism to have its moment, has also declared time and time again through the many voices of millennial faiths that in the end, goodness will always prevail. That yes, weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Events such as the one that graced us on that bright Monday afternoon just a couple of days ago remind us that we inhabit a mysterious world where a loving, sovereign God sometimes allows a flash of dark energy to penetrate our domain, but only to ennoble us and to extract from us an even greater measure of good and generosity. The dilemma of evil is that even as it carries out its dark, sinister work, it always ends up strengthening good and evoking even more strongly the very light that it so desperately tries to extinguish. We have all been inspired by the images and anecdotes of heroism and the just plain goodness that have already emerged from the first few hours of this unspeakable tragedy. This crucifixion has released much good. In our weakness, we have been made strong. In our suffering, we have been inspired to pray for others. In our woundedness, we have extended consolation. In our diversity, we have been united. In our perplexity, we have been led again to run to God and to remember that no matter how strong, fast, or successful we may be, we are ultimately children of eternity, able to find true hope and solace only in the bosom of our Father, in the realm of prayer and spiritual humility. In that paradox of weakness that we have entered into, we can become more gracious and more powerful, better channels for the grace of God to enter into this broken world. This is a small, immediate comfort, of course, to those who lie right now in a hospital bed, contemplating a life that has been irrevocably changed, or who grieve a lost or wounded loved one. We do pray, however, that they also may receive the grace to look beyond this moment of suffering and to believe that their life is far from over, that they can rise beyond their pain and their loss to become spiritually stronger and more agile, that they can find fullness of life and happiness and personal realization in the new normal that they now inhabit. May they never allow bitterness or hatred to linger more than a brief moment in their soul. May they receive that peace that passes all understanding. May they be able to translate into their own spiritual language the reassuring words of the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God's love will yet have the last word. God has not forsaken Boston. God has not forsaken our nation. He merely weaves a beautiful, bright tapestry of goodness that includes a few dark strands. By faith, we will leave this sacred space today to continue that noble narrative of patriotism, self-sacrifice, and simple striving that was only briefly interrupted by impotent evil, but that now continues, richer, denser, and more poignant than ever. May our faith be strengthened, that we might leave from here with this conviction. God bless us all. Amen.
The Reverend Roberto Miranda, Senior Pastor of the Congregation Leon de Huda of Roxbury. Behind us now we hear the Boston Children's Chorus, one of the most well-known musical groups in Boston, singing the song Up to the Mountain. WBUR's Deborah Becker, a few more speakers to go before we hear from the President of the United States.
That's right, a few more speakers to go, but we've heard some very powerful reflections from clergy members throughout Boston today. Very moving reflection by Roberto Miranda there, who said basically, I think the takeaway there is, he says, you know, Boston is not forsaken here. He says, God has woven a tapestry of good that just includes a few dark strands.
White House Press Secretary Jay Carney earlier this week, talking about the president's address today, said it would be one of commonality that we all feel as Americans with the people of Boston and those who were visiting Boston for the marathon and who both endured this horrific event and then demonstrated their bravery in its immediate aftermath. So in addition to the words of support we expect from the president for Boston, we'll probably also, Deborah Becker, hear praise for the first responders, as we've heard numerous times from public officials this week.
That's right. We've heard a lot of praise for the first responders and for those members of the public who actually ran toward the chaos, toward the explosion on Monday instead of away, for the folks who helped the runners, who helped those injured, who continue to help the families. This is a very emotional service. As you said, Bob, members of the Boston Children's Chorus are singing Up to the Mountain right now at this interfaith service, many of them becoming very emotional as they're singing. It's a very moving service today.
Tears pouring off the face of at least one of the young girls in the chorus. Let's listen. cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the accompanying musicians there for the Boston Children's Chorus. Next up, a reading from Bishop John Borders, senior pastor of the Morning Star Baptist Church of Mattapan in Boston.
To our courageous president, to our compassionate governor, to our mighty mayor, to all of you, Matthew chapter 5. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you." Beloved, I believe Jesus taught that to perceive the kingdom of heaven, you must see the opposite. When you see loss, see reward. When you hear a cry of pain, hear a prayer. When you see sacrifice, see a sacred offering. And to those of you who have suffered, in any type of suffering, wherever you might be, the Lord is saying to you, never lose sight of your future. You who mourn, you will be comforted. You who are broken, you will be healed. You who have suffered loss, you will be rewarded. The Massachusetts license plate says the spirit of America. And I pray the world right now, today, at this moment, will look at us and see the true spirit of America.
Bishop John Borders of the Morning Star Baptist Church in Mattapan. Next, we're going to hear from Boston Catholic Cardinal Sean O'Malley, who's hosting this event, this special Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross.
My dear brothers and
Cardinal
sisters,
O'Malley.
Dear friends, on behalf of our Catholic community, I wish to welcome all of you here to the Cathedral of the Holy Cross. It's an honor to have our president, our governor, and our mayor here with us this morning. We're so grateful to Governor Patrick for initiating this ecumenical prayer service. We're delighted that Metropolitan Methodius and Reverend Liz Walker and all of the many leaders from the various churches and faith communities could join us here today. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, asked me to communicate to you his sentiments of love and support. The Holy Father invokes God's peace upon our dead, consolation upon the suffering, and God's strength upon all those engaged in the continuing work of relief and response. The Holy Father prays that we will be united in the resolve not to be overcome by evil, but to combat evil with good, working together to build an ever more just, free, and secure society for generations to come. This year's Patriots' Day celebrations were marred by an act of senseless violence that's caused all of us great shock and pain. It has made us relive the horror of September the 11th and is a stark reminder of the darkness that can lurk in the human heart and produce such evil. And yet the same tragedy has brought us together as a community like nothing else ever could. The generous and courageous response of so many assures us that there resides in people's hearts a goodness that is incredibly selfless. We saw that when summoned by great events, we can be remarkably committed to the well-being of others, even total strangers. We become a stronger people, a more courageous people, a more noble people. The police, emergency workers, and even bystanders and passerbys did not hesitate to put themselves in harm's way to help the injured and the frightened. Our presence here today is an act of solidarity, first of all with those who lost their lives, and we are so happy that Crystal Campbell's family is here in the cathedral with us. We are also in solidarity with those injured in the explosion and wish to express our desire to support them and their families and loved ones. This Patriots' Day shakes us out of our complacency and indifference and calls us to focus on the task of building a civilization that is based on love and justice. We do not want to risk losing the legacy of those first patriots who were willing to lay down their lives for the common good. We must overcome the culture of death by promoting a culture of life, a profound respect for each and every human being made in the image and likeness of God. And we must cultivate a desire to give our lives in the service of others. Last week, I was in Galilee on the Mount of the Beatitudes with 30 priests from Boston on retreat. There we prayed and listened to the very gospel that was read for us here this morning. The Sermon on the Mount is a description of the life of the people gathered by and around the Lord. Often in the gospels, we can see the contrast between the crowd and the community. The crowd is made up of self-absorbed individuals, each one focused on his or her own interest in competition with the conflicting projects of others. A community is where people come to value each other, to find their own identity in being part of something bigger than themselves, working together for the common good. The Sermon on the Mount, in many ways, is the constitution of the people called to live a new life. Jesus gives us a new way to deal with offenses by reconciliation. Jesus gives us a new way to deal with violence by nonviolence. He gives us a new way to deal with money by sharing and providing for those in need. Jesus gives us a new way of dealing with leadership by drawing upon the gifts of every person, each one a child of God. In the face of the present tragedy, we must ask ourselves, what kind of a community do we want to be? What are the ideals that we want to pass on to the next generation? It cannot be violence, hatred, and fear. The Jewish people speak of tikkun olam, repairing the world. God has entrusted us with precisely that task, to repair our broken world. We cannot do it as a collection of individuals. We can only do it together, as a community, as a family. Like every tragedy, Monday's events are a challenge and an opportunity for us to work together with a renewed spirit of determination and solidarity, and with the firm conviction that love is stronger than death. May ours be the sentiments of St. Francis of Assisi, who prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen."
Boston Catholic Cardinal Sean O'Malley, you're listening to live special coverage of the Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service from the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, from WBUR in Boston. Next up, cellist Yo-Yo Ma, who's going to play a musical selection. We have not been told what exactly he's going to play, but here it is. This is special coverage of the Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service from WBUR, Boston. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma playing a selection there, playing most of it with his eyes closed, a very heartfelt performance there. President Obama sitting in the front row of the pews here at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, watching intently. First Lady Michelle Obama sitting next to him with her eyes closed, listening intently for a few moments there. The president actually with a finger to his lips. Here's Governor Patrick.
In everything, give thanks. That isn't always easy to do. On Monday afternoon, I was not feeling it. What I felt, what so many of us felt then, was shock and confusion and anger. But the nature of faith, I think, is learning to return to the lessons even when they don't make sense, when they defy logic. And as I returned to those lessons this week, I found a few things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the firefighters and police officers and EMTs who ran toward the blasts, not knowing whether the attack was over, and the volunteers and other civilians who ran to help right alongside them. I'm thankful for the medical professionals, from the doctors and trauma nurses to the housekeeping staff, to the surgeon who finished the marathon and kept on running to his operating room, all of whom performed at their very best. I'm thankful for the agents from the FBI and the ATF, for the officers from the State Police and Boston PD, for the soldiers from the National Guard and all other law enforcement personnel who both restored order and started the methodical work of piecing together what happened and who's responsible. I'm thankful for Mayor Menino, who started Monday morning frustrated he couldn't be at the finish line this time, as he always is. And then late that afternoon, checked himself out of the hospital to help this city, our city, face down this tragedy. I'm thankful for those who have given blood to the hospitals, money to the One Fund, and prayers and messages of consolation and encouragement from all over the world. I'm thankful for the presence and steadfast support of the President and First Lady, our many former governors who were here. Thank you. I'm thankful for the other civic and political leaders who are here today and for the many, many faith leaders who have ministered to us today and in the days since Monday. I'm thankful for the lives of Crystal and Ling Si and Little Martin, and for the lives of the families who survived them, and for the lives of all the people hurt, but who still woke up today with the hope of tomorrow. And I am thankful, maybe most especially, for the countless numbers of people in this proud city and this storied commonwealth who, in the aftermath of such senseless violence, let their first instinct be kindness. In a dark hour, so many of you showed so many of us that darkness cannot drive out darkness, as Dr. King said. Only light can do that. How very strange that the cowardice unleashed on us should come on Marathon Day, on Patriots Day, a day that marks both the unofficial end of our long winter hibernation and the first battle of the American Revolution. And just as we are taught at times like this not to lose touch with our spiritual faith, let us also not lose touch with our civic faith. Massachusetts invented America. And America America is not organized the way countries are usually organized. We're not organized around a common language or religion or even culture. We're organized around a handful of civic ideals, and we have defined those ideals over time and through struggle as equality, opportunity, freedom, and fair play. An attack on our civic ritual, like the marathon, especially on Patriots Day, is an attack on those values. And just as we cannot permit darkness and hate to triumph over our spiritual faith, so we must not permit darkness and hate to triumph over our civic faith. That cannot happen, and it will not. And so we will recover and repair. We will grieve our losses and heal. We will rise, and we will endure. We will have accountability without vengeance, vigilance without fear. And we will remember, I hope and pray, long after the buzz of Boylston Street is back and the media has turned its attention elsewhere, that the grace this tragedy exposed is the best of who we are. Fellow citizens, I am honored. I am honored and humbled to welcome our friend, our leader, our Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States.
Hello, Boston. Scripture tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. On Monday morning, the sun rose over Boston. The sunlight glistened off the State House dome, in the common and the public garden. Spring was in bloom. On this Patriots Day, like so many before, fans jumped onto the tee to see the Sox at Fenway. In Hopkinton, runners laced up their shoes and set out on a 26.2-mile test of dedication and grit and the human spirit. And across this city, hundreds of thousands of Bostonians lined the streets to hand the runners cups of water and to cheer them on. It was a beautiful day to be in Boston, a day that explains why a poet once wrote that this town is not just a capital, not just a place. Boston, he said, is the perfect state of grace. And then, in an instant, the day's beauty was shattered. A celebration became a tragedy. And so we come together to pray and mourn and measure our loss. But we also come together today to reclaim that state of grace, to reaffirm that the spirit of this city is undaunted, and the spirit of this country shall remain undimmed. To Governor Patrick, Mayor Menino, Cardinal O'Malley, and all the faith leaders who are here, Governors Romney, Swift, Weld, and Dukakis, members of Congress, and most of all, the people of Boston and the families who've lost a piece of your heart, we thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your courage. We thank you for your grace. I'm here today on behalf of the American people with a simple message. Every one of us has been touched by this attack on your beloved city. Every one of us stands with you. Because after all, it's our beloved city too. Boston may be your hometown, but we claim it too. It's one of America's iconic cities. It's one of the world's great cities. And one of the reasons the world knows Boston so well is that Boston opens its heart to the world. Over successive generations, you've welcomed again and again new arrivals to our shores. Immigrants who constantly reinvigorated this city and this commonwealth and our nation. Every fall, you welcome students from all across America and all across the globe. And every spring, you graduate them back into the world, a Boston diaspora that excels in every field of human endeavor. Year after year, you welcome the greatest talents in the arts and science, research. You welcome them to your concert halls and your hospitals and your laboratories to exchange ideas and insights that draw this world together. And every third Monday in April, you welcome people from all around the world to the hub for friendship and fellowship and healthy competition. A gathering of men and women of every race and every religion, every shape and every size. A multitude represented by all those flags that flew over the finish line. So whether folks come here to Boston for just a day, or they stay here for years, they leave with a piece of this town tucked firmly into their hearts. So Boston's your hometown, but we claim it a little bit too. I know this. I know this because there's a piece of Boston in me. You welcomed me as a young law student across the river. Welcomed Michelle too. You welcomed me. You welcomed me during a convention when I was still a state senator and very few people could pronounce my name right. Like you, Michelle and I have walked these streets. Like you, we know these neighborhoods. And like you, in this moment of grief, we join you in saying, Boston, you're my home. For millions of us, what happened on Monday is personal. personal. Today our prayers are with the Campbell family of Medford. They're here today. Their daughter Crystal was always smiling. Those who knew her said that with her red hair and her freckles and her ever eager willingness to speak her mind, she was beautiful. Sometimes she could be a little noisy, and everybody loved her for it. She would have turned 30 next month. As her mother said through her tears, "This doesn't make any sense." Our prayers are with the Liu family of China, who sent their daughter Lingzi to BU so that she could experience all that this city has to offer. She was a 23-year-old student, far from home, and in the heartache of her family and friends on both sides of a great ocean, we're reminded of the humanity that we all share. Our prayers are with the Richard family of Dorchester, to Denise and their young daughter Jane, as they fight to recover. And our hearts are broken for 8-year-old Martin, with his big smile and bright eyes. His last hours were as perfect as an 8-year-old boy could hope for, with his family eating ice cream at a sporting event. And we're left with two enduring images of this little boy, forever smiling for his beloved Bruins and forever expressing a wish he made on a blue poster board. No more hurting people. Peace. No more hurting people. Peace. Our prayers are with the injured. So many wounded, some gravely. From their beds, some are surely watching us gather here today. And if you are, know this. As you begin this long journey of recovery, your city is with you. Your commonwealth is with you. Your country is with you. We will all be with you as you learn to stand and walk and, yes, run again. Of that, I have no doubt you will run again. You will run again. Because that's what the people of Boston are made of. Your resolve is the greatest rebuke to whoever committed this heinous act. If they sought to intimidate us, to terrorize us, to shake us from those values that Deval described, the values that make us who we are as Americans, well, it should be pretty clear by now that they picked the wrong city to do it. Not here in Boston. Not here in Boston. You've shown us, Boston, that in the face of evil, Americans will lift up what's good. In the face of cruelty, we will choose compassion. In the face of those who would visit death upon innocence, we will choose to save and to comfort. and to heal. We'll choose friendship. We'll choose love. For Scripture teaches us, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that's the spirit you've displayed in recent days. When doctors and nurses, police and firefighters and EMTs and guardsmen run towards explosions to treat the wounded, that's discipline. When exhausted runners, including our troops and veterans who never expected to see such carnage on the streets back home, become first responders themselves, tending to the injured, that's real power. When Bostonians carry victims in their arms, deliver water and blankets, line up to give blood, open their homes to total strangers, give them rides back to reunite with their families, that's love. That's the message we send to those who carry this out and anyone who would do harm to our people. Yes, we will find you. And yes, you will face justice. We will find you, we will hold you accountable, but more than that, our fidelity to our way of life, to our free and open society, will only grow stronger. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of power and love and self-discipline. Like Bill Ifrit, 78 years old, the runner in the orange tank top who we all saw get knocked down by the blast, we may be momentarily knocked off our feet. But we'll pick ourselves up. We'll keep going. We will finish the race. In the words of Dick Hoyt, who's pushed his disabled son, Rick, in 31 Boston marathons, we can't let something like this stop us. This doesn't stop us. And that's what you've taught us, Boston. That's what you've reminded us. To push on. To persevere. To not grow weary, to not get faint, even when it hurts, even when our heart aches, we summon the strength that maybe we didn't even know we had, and we carry on. We finish the race. We finish the race. And we do that because of who we are, and we do that because we know that somewhere around the bend, a stranger has a cup of water. Around the bend, somebody's there to boost our spirits. On that toughest mile, just when we think that we've hit a wall, someone will be there to cheer us on and pick us up if we fall. We know that. And that's what the perpetrators of such senseless violence, these small, stunted individuals who would destroy instead of build and think somehow that makes them important. That's what they don't understand. Our faith in each other, our love for each other, our love for country, our common creed that cuts across whatever superficial differences there may be, that is our power. That's our strength. That's why a bomb can't beat us. That's why we don't hunker down. That's why we don't cower in fear. We carry on. We race. We strive. We build and we work and we love and we raise our kids to do the same, and we come together to celebrate life and to walk our cities and to cheer for our teams when the Sox and Celtics and Patriots or Bruins are champions again. To the chagrin of New York and Chicago fans, the crowds will gather and watch a parade go down Boylston Street, and this time next year, on the third Monday in April, the world will return to this great American city to run harder than ever and to cheer even louder for the 118th Boston Marathon. Bet on it. Tomorrow, the sun will rise over Boston. Tomorrow, the sun will rise over this country that we love, this special place, this state of grace. Scripture tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. As we do, may God hold close those who've been taken from us too soon. May He comfort their families. And may He continue to watch over these United States of America.
President Barack Obama speaking at the special Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston. This is special coverage of that service from WBUR in Boston. Coming up, Cardinal Sean O'Malley with a closing blessing, and then America the Beautiful.
As we come to the conclusion of our prayer service this morning, just a reminder to everyone here in the cathedral to remain in their places until the President and Mrs. Obama have securely exited the building. I invite you to kindly stand now for our concluding blessing.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. May the Lord preserve your going forth and your coming in. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
You've been listening to special coverage of the Boston Marathon Bombing Interfaith Healing Service from WBUR in Boston. Just heard America the Beautiful, a rendition of America the Beautiful with the crowd of about 1,700 people in the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, all standing to sing it, President Obama and Michelle Obama, also standing still during the singing of the song, but now exiting the building. I say 1,700 because that's about the capacity of the Cathedral of the Holy Cross. Deborah Becker, a number of incredibly moving speeches today, capped, of course, by the President's speech there at the end. What struck you?
Two standing ovations struck me, Bob, and also the way the president was able to weave into his speech quotes from scripture about running with endurance, and obviously the symbolism of the Boston Marathon and the fact that Boston is a city so well known across the country and the marathon is so well known across the country, and then using the symbolism of the race and what that means for people's lives, and how he told people in the audience to think of the last mile when things seem very difficult and very dark, that there is someone around the corner with a cup of water who may be able to lift you up, to cheer you on. And I think bringing all of that together in the words, as the president just did, was a very, very powerful speech. And of course, it looks as if the audience of about 1,700 felt the same way when everyone received those words with a standing ovation.
And as you mentioned, two standing ovations, the first one coming when he said the perpetrators of this act picked the wrong city. And then he went on to exhort Boston into making sure the 118th running of the Boston Marathon on the third Monday in April of 2014 is even bigger and better than this one.
That's right. And he also said, we will find you, those responsible. We will absolutely find you, and we will bring you to justice. It was a very powerful speech. And what I'd like to do now, Bob, is introduce our guest in the studio, Dr. Kermit Crawford. He's a clinical psychologist, and he's also the director of the Center for Multicultural Mental Health at Boston University School of Medicine. He's been watching this interfaith healing service with us. Welcome, Dr. Crawford.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can you tell me what you think when you hear these powerful words? What does it do to the community? Who does it help? Does it help all of us? And you've done this before. You've responded to other scenes around the world, really, other disasters around the world. What does a coming together like this accomplish?
Well, it is indeed powerful, and it is indeed inspiring. It's like the president and all the other speakers were carrying the weight of the trauma of the country on their shoulders today, certainly of the city. It was inclusive. It was comforting. It was reassuring. It was unifying. These are all important in promoting healing in the population, in the city, and that's going to be a necessary accomplishment in order for people to get back to some semblance of normalcy.
Right. I was also struck by how often, almost every speaker, talked about the folks who really helped out at the scene and made people remember those acts of heroism that we saw Monday and even in the days following, and all the people who helped. I think that was another message that resonated throughout this service today.
Spoke to the resilience of the city, to individuals, and to caring and compassion. Rather than focus on the evil and the diabolical acts that occurred, we focus on those aspects that really lift up the people and helping others.
What struck you from President Obama's speech?
Well, there was so much that spoke that touched me. President Obama talked about a perfect state of grace. He talked about that we will finish the race. He talked about so many aspects, so many inspirational aspects of the citizenry helping others, and all of us moving together back to a place of a normal life, that we will recover, and that we will not only just recover, that we'll be even bigger and better the next time around. I thought that this was just an absolutely magical and an inspiring service altogether.
I was thinking back to the speech that the president gave in Tucson, Arizona, after the shootings in Tucson, Arizona, when he went to Tucson in January 12, 2011. And in that speech, he ran down the names of every person who was killed in that shooting and every person who was injured in that shooting, and gave a little personal story about them. And he did the same today when he talked about 29-year-old Crystal Campbell, the woman from Medford, who was living in Arlington but a native of Medford, who died, one of the three people who died, little 8-year-old Martin Richard of Boston, and Lu Lingji of China, Boston University graduate student, also killed. And then he talked about so many of the injured in this excerpt of the speech. In this excerpt of the speech, let's listen to it.
Our prayers are with the injured. So many wounded, some gravely. From their beds, some are surely watching us gather here today. And if you are, know this. As you begin this long journey of recovery, your city is with you. Your commonwealth is with you. Your country is with you. We will all be with you as you learn to stand and walk, and yes, run again. Of that, I have no doubt you will run again. You will run again. Because that's what the people of Boston are made of.
Dr. Crawford, you can almost hear the president in that section of the speech trying to pick up these folks who were injured, and in the process, pick up the entire city of Boston and everyone who feels injured by what happened on Monday.
Absolutely, and to be defiant against those who perpetrated the event. Implication throughout much of the service was about the anger, anxiety, the fear, the feelings of revenge, how important it is not to scapegoat anyone. That was the ecumenical nature of the service, pulling many different people in from many different cultures and many different groups, to say that we all go together unified to address this issue, to change, to go back to where we were, and that we will go back there.
But, you know, one thing about this particular tragedy that's different from other disasters, I know you've responded to the earthquake in Haiti, for example, in Katrina. Here, there's a target somewhere. We don't know what it is yet. We know that police are looking for a suspect and things like that. And I think that was touched upon as well. Governor Patrick said, we will seek accountability without vengeance. Folks have said, another's hate will not make us become haters. That was another quote from the service today. But I'm wondering if it's different in how people recover from something like this, because it was obviously an act of hatred, and folks are looking for some type of revenge here. How do you deal with those mixed feelings when coping with something like this?
Well, it's just human nature for some to blame, to identify scapegoats, to want to somehow make sense of what occurred. This is a senseless act. We don't know the intent. We don't know how humans could do this to others. Human-caused disasters are most difficult to recover from. Not only the nature of it, the random nature of it, not only that individuals are doing this to other individuals, but also because of the constant media coverage, also because of the possibility, a prospect of ongoing litigation. There are many reasons why this will be a long-lasting challenge for much of the population. But I really feel that the statements were made that we have to come together and understanding that we won't turn on each other, but that we need now to for everyone to go to higher ground.
It's all about, in some ways, relief from the tension of the moment. I know that speechwriters, I don't mean to get too forensic here, but I know that speechwriters in crafting addresses for times like these sometimes keep one of the lessons of Aristotle in mind over catharsis, and that is helping people get over the grief. Aristotle believed that if you express some of the emotions the audience, or in this case the community, is experiencing, then you provide that relief.
And thinking about the president not only validated that emotion that you're talking about, but he also demonstrated as a role model how we should carry that emotion and what we should do with it. And that was trumpeted by pretty much all of the speakers.
And I also thought that another interesting question that came to my mind here is, do you think that the nation as a whole is ready to say, yes, we feel confident and we will be back in Boston celebrating again? I think people are, that there's also that fear because this was a man-made tragedy.
Well, I have no doubt. People have already talked about this not changing their lifestyles, that this is what we claim and this is going to be what we do. Also, they mentioned West Texas, the incident that just happened in West Texas. That's embracing the nation. And that's also reflecting that the nation is embracing Boston at this time, as we did New York, as we did a number of other locations that suffered this type of crime.
Right. I have to think that many people across Boston and many people who've run the marathon before and who haven't perhaps run it in the last few years must now be thinking that in defiance, they will come back to Boston in 2014 to run the 118th running of the Boston Marathon. Just as Bill Rogers, the godfather of the marathon, the four-time Boston Marathon winner, and speaking to WBUR just a couple of days ago, said he hasn't run it in a few years, but now it's in his mind as well.
That's right. Bob Oakes, Dr. Kermit Crawford, I'm Deborah Becker. You've been listening to special coverage of the Boston Marathon bombing, Interfaith Healing Service from WBUR in Boston.